This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Hello and welcome to Take Care On Air. I'm Chris Ada-Hillis. Today my co-presenter Kath Duncan is still in sunny northern New South Wales. So today we're joined by Take Care Out There project coordinator Shane McMaster. Welcome, Shane.
Thanks, Chris Ada. It's great to be here.
Okay, well today on the show we'll be taking another look at what's coming up at Midsummer this year, including the screening of the Take Care Out There short film competition finalists, which is happening at Red Benny's next Tuesday the 17th. And all Joy listeners will already know that the Midsummer Carnival kicks off this Sunday at Birrarung Ma down on the Yarra.
And we'll be talking to Sally Goldner, one of the most passionate activists and broadcasters in the queer community. We'll talk about her life, her work, and what she's doing for the Midsummer Festival, as well as the recent controversy over the Libra ads. I'm sure you've watched it, Crusader.
Oh yes, I have watched it, and I've got some interesting opinions myself. But look, first up, we have two very special guests from Miners 18, Victoria's same-sex attracted and gender-questioning group for young people, James Smoley and Oliver Stewart. Now, James was captain of the Gay Straight Alliance at his former school, Melbourne High, last year, and is now studying a liberal arts degree at university. He's been a committee member of Miners 18 since the middle of 2010 and is a project manager of Take Care Out There's sexual health youth gurus for Miners 18. And Oliver has been going to Miners 18 events for about 4 years, and considering that he only finished his VCE last year, he was probably pretty young when he started. He's looking at doing a double arts science degree at Monash, and he's been a committee member with them for over a year with Miners 18. So good afternoon, guys. Great to have you in the studio.
Yeah, great to be here with you.
It's nice to be here.
Now tell us a little bit about Miners 18 and how you each came to get involved in it and why.
Well, back in my good old high school days, I was really passionate about raising awareness about mental and physical health, and so I got involved with Gabrielle Nolan, who used to be at the Orzo Foundation taking care of the Take Care Out There project. And so I got involved with her on the Health and Wellbeing Day that was ran last year, and so I just had an amazing time working with her on that event. And so I got further involved with Orzo and Minus 18, and then I just ended up being a volunteer and then moving on to be committee. So it was kind of a nice little streamlined process, just following where my heart took me.
That's fantastic. And look, it must have been pretty amazing setting up the Gay Straight Alliance at Melbourne High, which it sounds like it was very much supported by the school itself.
Yeah, it was amazing starting up so for our Gay Straight Alliance at Melbourne High, because we had really the backing of the whole school community. And so through the past 2-3 years that we've been active, we've just been able to eliminate those little things like the gay slurs that float around the school. And so we've just had such like an amazing presence. And now going into 2012, it's just a community that we really love to be a part of, where everyone is supported.
And Oliver, how did you get involved with Miners 18 and why?
Oh, well, Smiley was talking about that natural progression, kind of just becoming a volunteer, becoming a committee member, and kind of just riding the wave of volunteering. And it was a lot like that for me. I mean, I was attending events for a long time, and Miners 18 does wonderful things for questioning youth who don't really know what they're doing at all. And I was one of those youth. So I thought it was really good to get involved and help some people, just like Miners helped me. And with the gurus, it just an opportunity came up, and I just had to take it. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, so I understand that you guys are known as sexual health gurus with Miners 18. Could you tell us a bit more about the program, what's involved?
Gabriel from Also just kind of approached us one day at one of the committee meetings and said, look, we're interested in getting kind of a youth program, a youth facet of the Take Care Out There initiative started, and we're looking for people who are interested. And me and Smalley were very, very interested. And it's just it's a really good program, because it's something that is very, very necessary, I think, because there is a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of people really don't know what they're doing, and it was something that we saw that needed to be done, which is why we're involved at the moment.
So what's it like being a sexual health guru for young people?
It's interesting. It feels a little strange, because, well, who has the right to give the right advice? But it's just, well, we have the right information, and it's just something we have to learn to do. We're still kind of working out the kinks and kind of developing the whole process and the ideas that we have about sexual health in the youth community. But it's very interesting talking to young people where they wouldn't normally talk to people at all.
So can you give us a little bit of an idea about what it involves, what you do, how you reach people?
Yeah, so we like to call ourselves a friend who knows about sex. So we're at Minus 18 Dance event events, and occasionally we run our own events. And so we're just there so people in the minus 18 community can approach us with any of their queries. And we're not experts, but we like to give advice where we can, and also refer people on to if they need like a sexual health test or areas we can help them with.
We had a meeting with the Take Care Out There contractors last night, and it was an interesting thing. None of us feel like we're experts at really anything to do with sexual health, but I think the message that came out for everyone was that we should be referring. So how do you find the right places to send people to when they want the information?
Yeah, we've had amazing support from the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, and we've also worked together with them on the HIPAA study, which is a medical study about HPV. So we have our basic knowledge of STIs and such, and we make sure that if people are coming up to us with these issues, that we know this clinic that offers amazing support. It's free for any young people to visit, and they also have their on-site pharmacy. So we're really confident referring people to Melbourne Sexual Health Centre for any issues they may have.
They're an amazing centre, and they actually stay so up to date with everything. I mean, for instance, they're dealing with transgender health is definitely the best in the state and possibly in Australia.
Yeah, it's amazing what Melbourne Sexual Health Centre offers. So we're really privileged to be able to work with them on this project.
Yeah, so I understand that you recently ran a workshop with the sexual health gurus. What happened there?
So late last year, we ran our Queer Sex 101. So that was open to the minus 18 community. And so young people rocked up, and we were just addressing the basics of using protection during sexual interaction and making sure people were really comfortable with protection, and most importantly, making it fun, because we all know sex is a rather enjoyable part of life. And
it can get a bit messy though.
Yeah, but we're introducing, you know, condoms, dental dams, gloves, slapping them around, putting them on cucumbers and avocados, and just making protection a fundamental part of sexual interaction and making sure we're having safe and fun sex.
Both protection and fun are important parts of sexual health.
And what about the OMG I'm Queer publication?
Oh, well, that's a resource that's recently very new, and the launch party will be on the 28th of January at the Vault in Collingwood.
Right in the middle of midsummer?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's a rather convenient spot,
yeah.
I'll admit. But, well, if you want to...
That's a Saturday night, isn't it?
Yes, that's a little different from the normal events. It will tack on to a regular minus 18 dance party, but it also being a resource launch, we decided a Saturday would be ideal.
I look, and it's school holidays, so it's a good way for people to be able to get away from home and not have to worry too much.
Yeah, you can hang out with some mature people, celebrate the launch at 4 p.m, and then from 5 p.m. onwards, we're partying all night long.
Going back to the sexual health gurus again, how do people become involved in it, and how do they find out more information about it?
Yeah, so all of sexual health gurus, we're minus 18 volunteers, and so we've all shown an interest in promoting sexual health within our community. And so it was just last week we ran our second training day where we trained up 10 new volunteers to be qualified sexual health gurus. So
wow, that you're actually getting the numbers up then, aren't you?
Yeah, because
that with Cindy Darnell?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's also our radio producer. So big hello to Cindy and thank you.
Yeah, Cindy's an amazing lady to work with. So she helps us out and she really knows her stuff.
Yeah, no, she certainly does. Look, finally, we just need to talk about your website, which is actually, you know, one of the most inspiring and well-run and professional websites in the queer community. How do you get the energy to keep it going like that? Because it's very interactive, and also let people know how to find it.
Well, we found that a lot of people just find it on their own. A lot of people let us know that, oh, I just went looking for something like this and had no idea it was there, and here it is, and get involved.
If you put in queer youth, you'd probably come up with, you know, even gay youth, you'll probably come up with minus 18 as one of the top hits, I guess.
Yeah, we've actually had a few online members from various other Australian cities, and we even had a girl from upstate New York, I think, who just was looking for something like it and got involved online.
Well, the resources are incredible, and you have to remember that a lot of young people do a lot of their interaction just online, you know, particularly if they're in situations where they can't get out and they can't be open. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. So where is it?
Yeah, so for any of our resources or details on the sexual health gurus on minus 18, you can visit us at minus18.org.au. And we really pride ourselves in our resources. We've got the standout resource, we've got the sexual health gurus, and we've got OMG I'm Queer launching this January 28th. So you can check them all out at minus 18.
Oh, fantastic. So thank you, James and Oliver. Keep up the amazing work, and we'll be talking to you again this year, I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ. community radio station Joy 94.9.
We have on the phone with us today Alex Schoeffel, who's also involved with Take Care Out There. He's going to tell us a bit about the Take Care short film screening at Red Benny's. Hi, Alex. How are you going?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. So could you tell us a bit about the Take Care short film screening, a bit of like background for the listeners?
Sure. Last year, as part of the Take Care Out There Arts and Cultural site, we launched the Take Care Out There 2012 short film competition, which was basically a platform for filmmakers and artists that wanted to work with the moving image to create and tell stories about GLBTI relationship and sexual health issues. So we had 12 respondents, of which six were shortlisted, and there's three comedies and three dramas, and all of them are basically explore different aspects of the GLBTI condition and how it pertains to relationship issues and sexual health.
Fantastic. Now, look, the screening is on Tuesday next week, the 17th, and it's at Red Benny's. What time is it starting?
Doors open at 7 p.m.
So
card-holding students, if you're interested in the event as a professional accolade, you're welcome to come down and check out the filmmakers. Just show your card and you'll get in for free.
Fantastic. That's really good. Look, so Red Benny's have been running these for quite a while. They've been very popular. It's great that there's quite a lot of midsummer stuff happening at Red Benny's this year. How do people find out more about the Red Benny's program?
If you go to redbennys.com, you can check out both our previous events and the DVD dinners, which showcase Australian filmmakers, and you can also book in for the Take Care Out There Short Film Awards.
And we'll be talking to you in coming weeks more about what Red Benny's up to. I think we can also say, Alex, that people should be looking out for Take Care Out There rovers and volunteers at the carnival this week as well.
Absolutely. You can't miss them. They're in bright pink and silver vests.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty impressive. Okay, well, look, thanks again, Alex. And in a moment, we're going to be talking to Sally Goldner.
Thanks, guys.
Take Care Out There. Take Care Out There. Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
You're listening to Take Care On Air with Crusader Hillis and Shane McMaster. Well, all Joy listeners, unless they've been living under a rock for the last 15 years, know who Sally Goldner is. She's been an advocate and an activist for trans, bisexual and polyamory rights and visibility since sometime in the mid-90s. She was listed recently as the lucky number 7 on the Age Melbourne magazine's top 100 influential and creative people. But she's also a broadcaster and produces and presents Out of the Pan on Sundays from 12 to 1 on 3CR. She's also a winner of a 2010 Also Award and is involved in at least two events for the Midsummer Festival.
Wow, that's pretty impressive stuff.
I didn't realise it was that long an introduction, actually. Yeah.
I'm definitely impressed about how you made it into the top 100 for The Age. Can you tell me a bit more about that? What it's like to be, you know, a creative and influential person, be recognised for that?
It's pretty awesome on every level. I think that, the first one that comes to mind is that, you know, I'm not sure exactly how many copies The Age has in circulation on average. What is it, 500,000 or something for each edition? There's got to be a chance that one trans person somewhere in Victoria will see that who has been struggling with their sex/gender identity and go, what, there's a trans person in the top 100? It might be okay to come out. That was probably the most awesome part. And yeah, look, it's human. It's human to want value being recognised, and it was pretty awesome. And I think also the fact that you had Ali Hogg and Carl Catter in there, you know, really shows Melbourne. I really feel that it gives us good credit to say we're up there as world class as a GLBTI city, and I think that's pretty awesome.
Now, Sally, you're involved with Midsummer again this year. What are you doing for Midsummer?
Well, about a week away from today is a fabulous trans event headed by the guru, the goddess, and I'm calling her that even if she doesn't like it, Julie Peters, who was the pioneer of trans advocacy in Victoria, in my opinion, as far as I know, the first out trans person to speak up really prominently on trans issues in, well, we're talking about the 90s and the music in it. Well, the 90s, there was that thing, there was a time where there was no internet, and that's when it was, and she was doing it then, which was pretty awesome.
Interestingly, she wrote an article for us in 97 about how people could get onto the internet with a whole history of it, because she was using the internet way back in the early 90s.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm a technological schmuck. I've been fooled by the Facebook thing about change your settings and you won't be hacked or something that's been going around. Oops, sorry. But she understands technology. So she was massively ahead of her time. She stood for Parliament for the then Australian Democrats as an openly trans woman. So she's heading up this trans night. And then you've got myself as, well, we'll say the middle-aged trends, doing some stuff and hosting an open mic event. And I'll leave you to give details of how people might be able to get in touch.
Yeah.
And then we've got Jez Pez, who's the driving force behind the Dude magazine for trans men. And for a long time, I think trans men were ignored. I don't think that's the case anymore. So this really is, you know, as part of from the Hares and Hyenas aspect of Midsummer 20 years, it really puts the whole historical thing in together. And we'd really get trans and friends to come along and join in the fun and experience and have a good time. So that's one event.
Yeah, and that's called I Dream Therefore I Am Plus Transcripts, and that's on at Hares and Hyenas next Tuesday at the 17th of January at 7:30 p.m. One of the great things about the Hares and Hyenas program this year is actually it covers every letter of the alphabet, including that we've definitely got Tony Biffra putting the I into the in the thing. He's actually going to be hosting our Life Stories event. So,
oh, cool.
It's you know, it goes everywhere from bisexuality to polyamory and all the rest of it, which I think are some of your favourite subjects, Sally.
Well, just a bit. And look, it's one of those things that happens in Midsummer and at other things like queer film where you can't get to everything. It's a real, from my point of view, a bother that on the last Thursday of the Midsummer time, which is the 2nd of February, there's the Bi and Poly event. But before the program came out, expressed interest in two events. And there's another one put on by Lisa Skyanides about nerds and geeks, which is going to be a great spoken word night. So
we're going to have to add nerds and geeks to your resume. So it will be an even longer introduction next time.
Well, yeah. Find out what sort of geek I am, and there's plenty of other geeks there. I outed myself on this particular aspect of geekdom, but you'll have to come along to the event. But yeah, it's one of those things where there's two events on the same night, and wish I could. We were in Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century, and we had teleporters and you could go zap 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 to each other, but it's not quite there yet.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on for you at the moment, Sally. Where do you get your energy for your advocacy?
It comes from a heart, which I think is a good powerful source, and it's, you know, I think a more powerful source than say the head or the hip pocket, which are parts of life. But for me, it's my passion, it's my soul, it's my life's mission, and you know, that's what can drive it. That's, you know, really where it comes from.
Yeah, passion's a great motivator.
Definitely.
Yeah, could you tell us a bit more about your radio show as well, Out of the Pan on 3CR?
Yeah, Out of the Pan on 3CR is coming up for 7 years now, since March 2005, and the pan covers the word pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. So it gives some extra emphasis to trans, sex and gender diverse, bisexual, polyamorous, also looks at issues where sex and gender is generally stereotyped. So the expectation that women are expected to be feminine, however defined, males, masculine, etc. We cover all those sorts of issues and try to give that. And I think it's really good that, you know, Melbourne has so much queer media. And I mean, you know, we've got 3CR, we've got Joy, Bent TV, we've got stuff on Sin doing their youth Rainbow Radio, their youth queer youth program, Rainbow Juice, Rainbow Radio in the country. I think that's, you know, another good factor as to why Melbourne and then getting into regional Victoria is, you know, doing its best, that we have those outlets that can reduce isolation. So the show aims to do that, as does, of course, all the other queer media around.
It's nice doing a little bit of collegiate sort of cross-promotion of two really important radio stations. And in fact, Take Care Out There is about to start some conversations with 3CR about how to start promoting the program through 3CR. Now, look, Sally, since the time you started, how I've described it is an explosion of transcultural output. And I think Melbourne has been one of the really big places where this has been happening. What are some of the changes that you've seen since the mid-90s through to now?
Definitely the trans community is more confident and assertive, and I think I'll say is more emotionally mature. Yes, it's still not...
There's not so many infights either, are there?
No, there certainly was infighting within the trans community over labels and other things. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that sometimes trans men were seen as less visible and that caused them some angst. Now, rather than getting angsty, people sit down and we work together. And I think that's just, you know, the community has become more confident. Yes, there's still a lot of people in difficulty, but there are people who are getting through the other end and are able to say, no, hang on a sec. And we do work together pretty well at the Health Indifference Conference in Sydney in 2010, as I was registering, a trans woman from another state come up to me and said, so how's your lot, infighting as usual? And I could honestly say that we weren't. And I think that's a good sign. And another example is when the controversial film Ticked Off Trannies with Knives screened at Queer Film Festival last year, the trans community said, yes, you've got a right to show it. We don't like the film, but you've got a right to show it, whereas a lot of other people just instantly went into ban it mode. And I think that's a sign of saying, okay, we can have a balanced debate. And that's really good to see. And, you know, people are standing up more and doing more artistic stuff as well. And there's still a need, though, for a transgender sort of safe space in a social setting on a regular basis. And if there is a venue out there that could fit Gender Blender, which had been happening late last year before the Glass House shut, we really need a space for that.
Yeah. So how many people were coming along to that?
Well, probably would have been about 50 trans and friends in that space. And I still think there's that need for a social cabaret type of event, which previously things like Upstart Alley and Gender Schmender had done.
Yep.
So if anyone can think of a good venue, get in touch with me or and I'll pass your details on to Larry, who organises it. So we still have, that's probably a little gap that we need at the fixed at the moment.
Now, I think two organisations, look, one of the things that was happening in the 90s and the early 2000s was there was a little bit of organisational rivalry around different things, which I think is really, as you said, it really has sort of shifted. Now, you're involved with both Transgender Victoria and with Zoe Bell Gender Centre.
Yep.
Can you just quickly explain what the differences between those are? And can you also tell us a little bit about the funding that Zoe Bell Gender Centre and what their hopes are?
Yep. Transgender Victoria is more an advocacy group. I'll say similar to groups like the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and also Bisexual Alliance Victoria, which emerged a couple of years ago. And Zoe Bell Gender Centre has as its aim to get a permanent physical funded space for a centre for sex and gender diverse people, the same as there are Aboriginal community centres, centres for people who are differently abled. So there's two arms of that. Now, that aim of getting that is one of Transgender Victoria's four key priorities, the others being federal equal opportunity law, documentation reform, health and Medicare reform. So, yeah, we work very closely together, and that links into the funding in that both are working together because Transgender Victoria is incorporated. We're sort of doing the legalistic bits of it, and Zoe Bell Gender Centre are doing putting the operational side of it together. And the fact that there's all that expertise combining in is really, really helpful, and it's going in the right direction. And obviously we liaise with the more social and support groups like Y Gender, Oz Gender, Seahorse, and others.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's certainly a lot of interesting developments, you know, both in the present and the recent past with the trans community.
It is. It's in a good spot. And then, you know, just broadening on the advocacy stuff, the whole community had some great developments on the documentation stuff in the latter part of last year with the passport changes.
It was very exciting, wasn't it? Finally.
It was incredible to see that. And just the response with people saying
Can you explain exactly what happened?
Yeah. The passport changes previously, in reasonably simple terms, your passport sex/gender marker was limited to the M or F that was in your birth certificate, the birth certificate registry at the state and territory level. And so for people who were still married, people who couldn't have surgery, people who just did not identify that way, people who felt they didn't need surgery, they say, and I'll use myself as a hypothetical sort of test case, I would still have an M on my passport. And this caused great difficulty for some people travelling. People ended up in detention centres overseas, were harassed by customs officials. Some couldn't travel. So what happened with these passport changes now is a simple letter from a GP saying you are undergoing some sort of course of treatment. I can't remember the exact words off the top of my head. For in relation to gender means you can change your passport. So that instantly says it's not surgery based. And the response was enormous, the best one being someone who said, I was originally from overseas, never thought I'd be able to travel home and see my family again. Now I can. And that just, you know, all the people who'd been involved in it were just blown away by that it could have that much effect. And just give that sort of basic human rights and human dignity back to people. So that, the success of Connor Montgomery in New South Wales with his birth certificate, and then the High Court case that happened in October, where two West Australian trans men challenged their state's very rigid surgery-based laws and won. That's given us a real sort of base on which to build for 2012, and we'll be pushing to make sure that if that High Court case is reflected in state and territory laws.
Look, that's fantastic. two very final, very quick little questions, or maybe quick little answers. One, how do people find you at Midsummer? And two, how do people find Zoe Bell Gender Centre and Transgender Victoria on the internet?
On the internet, transgendervictoria.com is the simplest way, is nice and easy to remember, is our website with all the contact details. Zoe Bell Gender Centre is gendercentre.com, and we'd really encourage people who have supportive services or businesses to register in our resources database. There's also a Q&A section, so if your question is which one that came up in the last 24 hours, where I'm a trans man, where do I get binders? People can put in all their answers. And at Midsummer, I'll be on the stall. Transgender Victoria is sharing with the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. We work closely together as well to make sure that there's coordination of effort, and I'll
and
be on there.
You're on both organisations.
Yes, yeah. So I'll be probably on there in the middle of the day, but I'll be wandering around, and my phone number will be left there. So if people want to have a chat with me, I'm happy to meet up with someone in the middle of the day, whether it's about coming out or what we can do to get those laws changed or whatever else.
Yep, and there's going to be a Butch Femme Trans picnic, I think, there as well.
That's right. They'll be there, and I think they're probably linking up with the Y Gender Crew.
And Y Gender Crew, yeah.
Yeah, look, for the young trans people who, you know, been going a year, and I've just got to say they are doing some awesome work.
Big trans visibility all over Midsummer Carnival. Bring it on.
Yeah, and one thing from last year's Midsummer was just someone wearing a T-shirt saying tranny boy. And I just think that wouldn't have happened a while ago. And just to see that person out proud wearing that T-shirt in front of 100,000 people, that was, it's a small personal highlight, but it shows where we're going.
Well, let's hope we see tranny fag this time.
Yep, tranny everybody.
Yes, that's right. Okay, all right, we're about to wind up, so we thank you very much for being here. One thing, though, we do have a question from a listener. I'd like to hear the medical term gender dysphoria used more rather than the almost sexual trans term when talking about the issue. And that's from Tess. That's actually opens up a whole can of worms, which we'd need quite a long time to talk about.
Yeah, and look, it's a fair call. Really hard one. It opens up issues of trans pathologisation that we need to get out of the DSM and all that sort of thing, which we just can't go into.
Let's actually make a time to talk about it. So, Tess, we're going to be covering this again, which means that you have to listen to this show
in the
next few months.
It's a really good question, and thanks for the input.
Yep. Thanks again, Sally.
Yeah, thanks, Sally.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
On the phone at the moment, we've got Robert Kelly. Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Crusader. How are you going?
Very, very, very well. You'll be talking to myself and Shane today. You're doing a show at Gasworks coming up for the Midsummer Festival, but I'm going to tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing. You started studying dance at the age of 16, which in some circles might be considered quite late. And your education as a dancer was largely undertaken at WAPA, the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts. Pretty famous place, actually, and really punches above its weight, doesn't it, that place?
It certainly does. I actually just had some great news last night that a couple of my students from Canberra, that's the town that I hail from, have been accepted into WAPA. So I was quite stoked about that.
It's
a great institution, for sure.
Now, the work that you're doing at Gasworks, Infinite Space, is described as a breathtaking example of classical dance reinterpreted to be relevant and inspiring for new and loyal ballet audiences. It's choreographed by yourself and Simon Hoy, and it says it has athletic vignettes where the dancers move through the fickle moods of a Melbourne day. And you call it an uplifting celebration of hope and beauty, and it's a bit of a signature piece for the Melbourne Ballet Company, which we haven't mentioned yet. It is the Melbourne Ballet Company production at Gasworks.
That's right, and look, I think what we try and do is just stay up to date. As far as classical dance goes, I've been asked several times in interviews about this comment made about classical dance being dead.
Yeah,
and I've always had a rebuttal about that. But this is basically what we do, is we try and stay up to date, and the pieces are uplifting. In One Day, which is choreographed by myself and Simon, is to the music of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and Infinite Space, which is also the title of the piece, and is also the ballet that Simon has choreographed. It's also been one of our better-known works, and really is an uplifting piece. It's something it leaves you feeling light and a bit inspired.
So the work is part of the Midsummer Festival. So what's queer about the work?
Well, I think there's a lot of queer things about what we do in general. Just the way that we function as a company is unusual in its own sense, but it's unique in its own sense in that way as well.
So are there gay themes to the work at all, or sort of like, you know, unusual pairings of same-sex dancers or anything like that? I'm just...
Yeah, there are. There's a particular part that I've choreographed in autumn, which begins as a pas de deux, so dance for two in English, with two women, and it is quite erotic and quite suggestive, and then it becomes a pas de trois, so that's the three women. It's all intertwined, and it's all, I wouldn't necessarily say suggestive, but it functions in its own right, and it leaves people's minds open to assessment, if you know what I mean.
Yep, it leaves it open. Well, not, as you say, suggestive, but it actually just leaves it open.
Yeah, but it is provocative, I will say that.
Yeah, I'm definitely one to have an open mind about things. So, hi Robert, this is Shane here.
Hey Shane, nice to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you too. So I understand that you performed as a dancer in Australia and Europe. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure, yeah. I've performed in about three different touring companies in Australia. I've also performed with the West Australian Ballet, the Australian Ballet Company, on projects. I was a soloist in the Salzburg Dance Company, principal dancer in the State Theatre of St Gallen, and soloist at the Regensburg State Theatre. I won't go on. So I've done a few things. I've been around. And now I tour the world as a choreographer, but I'm fixed as ballet master and guest choreographer for NBC.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So I understand that some of those productions that you've choreographed have actually been performed in the US and Europe, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. I've had stuff performed in LA. I recently put on Peter and the Wolf in Catania, and we had audiences of about 3,000 for that. But look, you know, this is my home place, and Melbourne Ballet Company is my focus. It's the place I've chosen to live, so this is what Simon Hoy and myself are working on. Here is just to keep going, and now that we have funding from Arts Victoria, and now that we have supporters, like, for instance, Joy FM, you guys have been behind for about 5 years now since we began. It's growing into something really nice.
Yeah, well, it's great that you chose to come back to Melbourne to perform for Midsummer.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be the kickstart to the year.
Yeah, so where can people find out some more information about the production at Gasworks?
Well, they can go to the Melbourne Ballet Company website, which is easy to find. Just tip in Melbourne Ballet Company into Google.
Yeah.
The performances are at the Gasworks Theatre on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th. And that's where
February?
You can see... Yes, of February, yep. Yeah. And that's where you can see In One Day, which is choreographed by myself and Simon. That was a collaboration. And then Infinite Space by Simon Hoy, who is the resident choreographer of Melbourne Ballet Company.
Look, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with the show, Robert. People can also get any information about all of the pretty amazing productions on at Gasworks this year at gasworks.org.au. But for all of the events, including the events that Sally was talking about before, they can go to midsummer.org.au and get all of the information and book their tickets there as well. So thanks again.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, that's my pleasure, and I'll be putting that up on my Facebook.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you're listening to Take Care On Air. We're coming to the end of the show, which means that we've got the end with Damien Stevens, our rural correspondent.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now you're talking to Shane and Crusader today, so you guys haven't met before.
On Facebook we have. Hi, Shane.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Damien, yeah, I'm a Facebook friend.
Yeah. So look, Damien, you'll be going to once every 2 weeks, which means that you're going to have to jam more information in, because next week we're going to be talking to one of the suburban, I think, youth groups about what they're up to. So what's going on in the bush?
All right. Well, CAN over in Bendigo, Country Awareness Network, they're putting together a guide this year called the CAN-ind Guide. It's in partnership with the Take Care Out Back There project, developing a directory for LGBTIQ people living or travelling in rural and regional Victoria. I'm sure you'd be familiar with that initiative. There's more info at can.org.au about that, alongside other info about the 12th Social Research Conference on HIV, hepatitis C and other related diseases that CAN has been promoting for some time. That's coming up in April. So CAN's all over that stuff. Check out their website. Over in Bendigo, they also have FabCV, which is their social group for the GLBTIQs amongst us and our allies, those who live, work and socialise in Bendigo. They have a dance night on the last Friday night of every month. That'd be 27th of Jan this month, upstairs at the Icon Bar. A fun night for all. FabCV.org.au has more info there. Across to Ballarat, they now now have, which is great, a dance night as well on the third Friday of every month. This month will be Friday the 20th of January, 9 p.m. at the Haida Bar. I hope that's pronounced correctly. They don't have a website, but they do have a Facebook profile. And if you search for Dorothy Who, that's Dorothy Who with two O's, you'll find out much more about their gay drinks night. They've got Eureka Rice, Crystal Decanter, a whole lot of performers. Michael T and his funky dancers too, so get on down to Ballarat.
There's a lot happening.
There is a lot happening. Then over to Geelong. Geelong Lesbian Group, still upgrading their website, but they're telling me it's coming along and it won't be long before glg.org.au is up and running.
So they've got the lounge rooms in and the kitchen, but they're just sort of still putting in the bedrooms.
And the drapes.
And yes, the drapes.
That's right. And GASP is the Geelong Adolescent Sexuality Project down there in Geelong, similar to the diversity project that we have here. It's their social and support services for young people who are GLBT or questioning their sexuality. They're all on Facebook and you can find them there, GASP or GLG website, like I said. They're off to Midsummer this weekend, as are we. We hope to see all you guys there.
Yep, love to see you guys there too. So where can you find GV Pride at Midsummer, Damien?
GV Pride will have a stall and they will be sharing their stall this year with PFLAG Greater Shepparton, hopefully right next door to the young person's stall. We've got two stalls this year, one for the Diversity Group and Diversity Project and one for PFLAG and GV Pride. So look out for us down there at Birrarung Mar, of course, this Sunday.
That's fantastic. We'll be seeing you definitely at Midsummer. Also Foundation and Quip, the Deaf and Disability Group of the Also Foundation, will also be having marquees at Midsummer Carnival. And so look out for everyone from the country. Look out for Also and look out for the Take Care Out There Rovers, which you won't be able to miss as they spread the safe sex and responsible use of drugs messages all over the place. Thanks again, Damien. We'll be talking to you in 2 weeks' time.
Talk to you then, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Damien.
Take care out there. Take care out there. Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
Now, we're coming up to the end of the show. It's been a really great show. I mean, there's so much going on. People need to get on the Midsummer website and start finding out what's going on. They also need to get along to the carnival this Sunday, which starts at 11 o'clock and goes to late and much, much later with the tea dance. At the day, you're going to find lots of people roving, promoting their shows. So do support Midsummer and go along and buy some tickets. I want to thank Shane McMaster for filling in today and also for being our project coordinator. Now, Shane, we're now on Facebook and Twitter. Take care is. How do people find us there?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, we're now on Facebook and Twitter, so we can have a bit more of a conversation about sexual health online. You can find us at facebook.com/careoutthere.
So, basically, if you go to Facebook, just type in care out there.
Yep, that's our username. And it's the same username for Twitter as well. So, twitter.com/careoutthere as well.
So, if you want to go to Twitter, it'd be at care out there.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, fantastic. And look, they don't just have to talk about sexual health. You can promote your own events. You can do a range of different things. What would be nice would be if you sort of pay us back a bit by promoting sexual health as part of that relationship and conversation. Finally, we want to thank the Gazman, as always, who's our wonderful panel operator. We'll have Kath Duncan back in the hot seat next week. And we want to thank Cindy Darnell, our producer. So until next week, we'll be seeing you at Midsummer.
Yep, see you there at Midsummer.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub. And also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.